Okay. I'm going to re-adjourn the Siskiyou County Planning Commission meeting. Commissioner Fowl, you have more questions?
Ready to start down the second?
Yes. Go down your second path.
Okay, so the second issue that has been brought up is the $500 proposed by staff annual inspection fee. I asked the question earlier. It was verified. That was essentially thrown out as a upper limit, as auditor will do an assessment as time required to come up with a true number, whatever that number for services delivered is, would be what the annual fee would be. This is under the assumption that we are inspecting STRs once every year. So this first is a question for the commission. Operating under the assumption, and I quote assumption, put it in hypothetical air quotes, that CAL FIRE is doing their annual inspection, we as a commission have always placed a high level of concern, interest, etc., on whether or not 4290, 4291 regs are being met on project sites with vacation rentals. Because with a few exceptions, most of these projects are coming to us located in areas of potential fire risk. Emma, is that, would you agree that's a fair statement?
Potential fire risk, but I believe every potential is a potential fire risk.
I get that. But that seems to be what we as a commission, by and large, place a heavy focus on, because we have outside individuals coming into an area doing stupid stuff, placing neighbors potentially at risk, which is why we have a boilerplate, no fireworks, no firearms, blah, 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 blah. Correct?
Correct.
So, with the assumption CAL FIRE does annual inspections, do we as a commission feel annual inspections are necessary, or are we comfortable as a commission modifying staff's recommendation, saying with the findings, as long as CAL FIRE is doing annual inspections to verify 4290, 4291, that 2-year or maybe even 3-year inspections would meet our needs? Because to me, each of these projects are managed by a manager or by the individual themselves. It is incumbent upon the manager, whether it be private or contracted, to do their due diligence to ensure smoke detectors are functioning, to ensure septic is functioning, to ensure there is safe, clean, healthy water supply.
Yep.
And basically, the county is going to go in and inspect and make sure doors are functioning properly, railing still meets the standards, no new pool, no new spa.
The conditions of approval.
Conditions or approval are being met.
Let me just interrupt. If it wasn't for the housing inspector, housing consultant recommending that, would you have recommended that? This annual fee to inspect the houses every year?
I definitely would have put it in the report, because it is a very common mechanism that counties use. So I would have.
There was, you felt there was a need to include this?
Well, it's just the intent of the report was to bring forth policy recommendations.
No, but I'm saying, had we not hired that company, would you recommend that we impose this $500 fee for annual inspection?
I would have put it in the report for you all to bring forth recommendations that I would then finesse.
But you saw a need there.
Yes, because it's something common that other jurisdictions do.
But I mean, our jurisdiction, I mean, we just have the lady that handles how many equipment, or...
Sandra, 350.
Yeah, she didn't have any complaints, or very few. So I'm willing to say yes, do it, but I just, I mean, are we just chasing dollars here, or is it something that you need?
I think part of it is county liability for ensuring that a use permit is meeting public health and safety standards. My question is, with a manager and with CAL FIRE doing what they should be doing, is it really necessary to inspect every year? Or could we expand that to every two or every 3 years? Because I personally don't mind too much pain, which I do, an additional fee for ranching for a service, quote unquote, by the government, as long as I'm seeing a service delivered for the fee I'm paying. What chaps my hide is when I'm assessed a fee and there's no service associated with it. And so that's why I'm saying we maybe this $500 ceiling,
sure,
we say, hey, we can leave it at the $500 ceiling, the auditor runs through their deal, but if we recommend to the supervisors 3 year inspections are sufficient.
Once every three years.
Then that $500 likely won't just go down to maybe $400 or $300. It likely could go down to $100 every 3 years. But there is a service directly being provided for the fee being assessed.
Yeah, because that was my line of questioning with how much staff time, because it seems like we're always tight on staff. And I certainly agree with Jeff. I don't believe in fees for the sake of fees. I totally agree there needs to be a reason for it, because I'm usually adverse to any additionality of fees. But since, you know, the home is a business, there needs to be a mechanism to ensure compliance. But I don't necessarily agree with every year, because I just don't think we're going to have staff time. I mean, I think this may be one of the few years that we've had full enforcement officers since I've been on the commission for 4 or 5 years.
Tuesday.
And then what happens when we go back down to one person? They're paying a fee, they're not getting the service with, you know, things to take a look at. So I would say not only like once every 3 years, but even, you know, every 5 years. Like, it doesn't need to be...
Couldn't that be worked out between the staff and the auditors to come up with a order?
Well, I think they need a timing mechanism.
The auditor will come up with the fee. We need to come up with a recommendation for the BOS as to how often or the frequency of said inspection. And that's why I'm in support of the inspections. We've got our quarries, rock pits, etc. They're getting annual inspections, but they're not managed by outside to meet various compliances. That's the county's responsibility under SMART. So this is also a use permit. I firmly believe they should be inspected. The frequency is what I'm bringing up to bring down the potential fee.
Yeah.
What is the frequency that we as a commission, because basically, if you're a county employee, and I'm just throwing out rough numbers because I don't know what it's like to work a 40-hour week, but I'm guessing you probably, I remember what it is for teachers. I believe teachers work roughly 142 days a year in the schoolroom. That's not counting the weekends for the English teachers. And ag teachers are 7 days a week. But roughly a county employee is 150 to 160 days a year. If you take off all the holidays, that have been created by the state, by the federal government, the weekends, the 5-day work week works out to ended up being 4.1 days a week once you take in vacations, and vacations you have to take. So if our code enforcement individual is working, let's just say 160 days a year, okay, off, that's the vacation. Or no, it's 160 days roughly that they would be on the job. We have 151 existing STRs. If we were to break that out into thirds, that's why I proposed a 3-year, that's reasonable where they are not going to be full-time annual inspection every year to hit 151. They do a third of them, then they have time within their available workday work year to meet the demand of compliance complaints that come in for this, that, and the other around the county. And I think that's a wiser expenditure of their hours and time as opposed to doing menial inspections that may not be necessary.
Mm-hmm. So do you find that a reasonable proposal that Jeff mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go with it.
So are we good with?
Well, and then, you know, conversely, if I'm doing math, I mean, it gets down to like $150, $160 fee. If you were to take that 500, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the auditor will say.
Let's leave it at 500 and let them adjust.
That's the max, but yeah. I highly doubt it's going to be 500 every 3 years.
I wouldn't.
So do you want to leave it at that and...
Do we have
the auditor come up with a figure?
Well, either way, the auditor's going to come up to it with a figure as staff presented. Haley, am I correct? Staff basically threw the 500 in here because you were pretty confident it was not going to be more than that.
Correct.
And, you know, because that 500, if I'm looking at it, that was based on a full-time position doing this, like one person doing this all year.
You're right.
So now that that's where I'm getting like a third of the cost.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make it more palatable,
right?
If there is such a thing as a palatable fee, but because, I think that's, you know, I understand the need. I understand the need of the county. Did you have questions?
The thing that frustrates me is, let's go back to the TOT. That goes into the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way that we can, as a recommend, that a portion of the TOT paid by the rentals, the short-term rentals, can be put in a fund to help pay for these inspections.
We can't do that.
I know that. Frustrating to me because...
That has to go before the voters.
Yeah.
That was a ballot initiative.
But, you know, I mean, I'm trying to help the STRs not have to have an additional expense, which they have to pass on to their customers, which could cause them not to rent that place. Insurance, I know what my homeowner's insurance, it didn't go up bad, $60 a half. But that's because of the cost of construction, which, by the way, if anybody cares, is $239 a square foot.
That's cheap.
For what?
For a single level family.
I wish I could build a barn that cheap.
Yeah. That's what I was told. Anyways.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to be fair to the people that have the investment and have the county put in place things that will benefit them for safety, et cetera, et cetera, but don't cost them an arm and a leg.
Yep. I think we're all in agreement.
I think we're all there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
this motion is really broad, so it doesn't specify.
Well, doing a Planning Commission veto of staff recommendation and placing inserts of amendments to language with findings.
Okay.
So I'm done with the second one.
Okay.
Are we good with 3-year inspection?
Yep.
500 max. Obviously, it's going to be left up to the auditor. Ready to go on to number 3?
Yes, please.
Okay, this is the more controversial one. Actually, no, I'll deal with the least controversial. I'm with Commissioner Veal and with you two as well, and Commissioner Hart, when he was here, adamantly opposed to a limit on the 2.5 acre identification. Mm-hmm. It's private property. It's yours to do with as code allows, period. And I would adamantly move to strike the 2.5 acre moratorium, period.
Absolutely,
because that was going to be done. Are we going to hold
if we were going to move this to the Board of Supervisors? I was going to suggest that they have to take off the moratorium. Because that's a crop. That's not pulling anything.
Yeah. Well, I would support making a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors to get rid of the 2.5 acres at the county level, as well as within the sphere of influence of Mount Shasta. As we've stated, Mount Shasta itself doesn't have that restriction.
Agreed.
So I think that is not equitable. Rather, you live on
firm, fair, consistent.
That's it.
Yeah, I, you know, and especially as a former resident of Mount Shasta, you know, lived off of Lassen Lane. You cross over the bridge, you're in county. Other side of the bridge is city. It's like, well, there's no equitability there. So, yeah, I fully support making that recommendation.
Okay, so there's the third one. Now we'll go into the more controversial one. I have heard the public comment submitted, both phone, in person, written, the emails we had before today, regarding a cap of any kind in the regions, which we as a commission asked staff to come back with. I've heard it. I understand where the STR individuals and those individuals who may be looking at doing STRs are coming from. I sit on this commission as a small business owner in an industry that from the west to the eastern border, from the Oregon border to the Shasta County line, is seeing a real issue in the shortage of rentals available for our employees. They don't exist. And when you don't have available long-term rentals, that negatively impacts available employees, which negatively impacts the ability to run our business. It's directly connected. I don't have a silver bullet, but I can say that under the existing umbrella of our housing element, we need more, and I won't call it affordable housing, because these aren't properties for individuals who are low income. We pay $20 to $30 an hour to our employees, and they can't find affordable rooms to rent. And so we as an industry, agriculture, are faced with an issue of how do we provide the housing so we have employees to run our business. Mm-hmm. It is one of the biggest current limiting factors outside of insurance and outside of unnecessary state regulation. That being said, I have seen the dynamics of McLeod significantly change from the 70s to today. Now, I used to play him when I was in high school. Every year, Aetna played McLeod. We played Happy King. and they had a vibrant school. They had businesses. It was a thriving community. And then it went into an era where businesses left, families left, and it was a dead zone for almost two decades before the ski park got revitalized. And
Nestle's charged him up there pretty good.
Right. So we saw a bit of a boost, but okay, all of a sudden tourism became a needed source of revenue for the community of McLeod to keep it from literally dying. And vacation rentals made sense. Mm-hmm. Won't argue that. Wonderful opportunity for individuals to buy a home, live here part of the year, live somewhere else part of the year, rent out the space. It serves a need for the community. My concern as a planning commission and a commissioner, we are planners. We need to have a vision for 25, 50, 100 years out for our respective areas. What decisions we make today will directly influence whether communities will thrive or die. There is a balance, and I will not put my foot in my mouth and say, hey, I've got the answer, this is what the balance needs to be. I just know each region, that balance is likely different. One size will not fit all. With the information provided by the contractor, it raised a number of questions to me, which is why I and we as the commissioners asked staff, how many are in each of these regions? What is the percent for those regions? We know the challenges of long-term versus short-term, the differences in potential revenue in-stream, short-term, long-term. We know with the given economy currently and probably for the foreseeable next 6 to 8 years, building new homes is not likely going to happen. Can't afford to. And so we have an existing series of businesses, whether it's mills, agriculture, hospital, education, state employees. We need to have teachers in the schools, nurses in the hospitals, mill workers out here. They've got to have a place to live. Is limiting STRs the answer? I don't think it's a whole answer, but I also do believe that we cannot let STRs have carte blanche, bring us the project, we're going to approve it. I don't think that works. The question I have, what is the fair limit?
How many is too many?
Exactly. And I have an idea, but I'm curious as to the commission.
Well, I think you hit it
with your thoughts.
The regional difference. I mean, Lake Shasta, they could have a lot more than, say, we, because of the people out there usually retire or playing golf or something. They could have a lot. McLeod does have a lot, right? And the people in McLeod don't seem to oppose the number of the RBO, right?
Not recently, anyhow.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a few years ago that were...
I'll tell you, I called Doris, asked Doris, the city of Doris, I said, how many vacation rentals? She said, do you realize you're calling Doris? I said, yeah. I said, vacation in Doris?
Because they do have one. Yeah. Just anyway. Down from the high school.
Anyway.
Because I've had to stay there when we got snowed in doing a basketball tournament.
But that, anyway, the point being is I think it's regionally driven by the region. Happy Camp only has 4, 7 down there.
Yes.
It says 7, but
one of them burned, I believe.
The community of Happy Camp is 4, the rest of them up in Syed or something.
Yeah,
So I don't know.
I struggle.
Happy Camp could have a lot, I don't know.
I struggle with putting limits.
That's right.
Me too.
You know,
Whatever the traffic will bear.
Yeah, I believe that, you know, with our county demographics, with our industry changes, you know, it's getting more and more difficult to practice my profession. I personally have a real hard time deciding what is fair. And therefore, I don't know that I should decide what is fair. I think we need to look at it on a case-by-case basis and set some standards. And I think ultimately, if people stop coming to Siskiyou County and requesting vacation rentals, people will relinquish their use permits and find another way to generate revenue rather than their long-term rentals or sell the place.
Is it going to allow the market to decide?
Is that
what I'm hearing?
That's what I'm saying in a nice way. I don't like putting arbitrary caps because, you know, what's the difference between 5%, 6%? You know, somebody got their permit in before the next person. Although, you know, with that said, as a business owner, one of my biggest drawbacks to Siskiyou County, and it's just nature of where we live, is finding housing for our, you know, graduates. We have primarily higher college graduates. Siskiyou County is not always the top of their list on which office of mine they want to relocate to. They want Placerville, but it's not just the housing, it's the entertainment. They're young families, right? So, with that said, the only other thing that comes to my mind is, why do we live in Siskiyou County? You know, we live here, work here, we're born here, multi-generations in some cases, but it's the quality of life aspect. And so I do sympathize with people concerned with having, you know, a sense of community, you know, the large, loud parties. I would just ask, you know, as a vacation rental owner or a landlord, you know, you are policing that, if you will. And then I always go back to the argument, well, it's not just vacation rentals. We get evictions and bad issues with long-term rentals, and then you can't get them out.
That's it.
So I'm sympathetic on all fronts. I just don't think it's our role as a commission to set arbitrary limits. And so I don't know, like, I don't see enough data to say 4%, 5%, 6%.
And that's what I'm struggling with. And I'll bring it up. We're talking housing. Farms and ranches have a tool available where we can build farm housing. That's a tool we have. But high schools, elementary schools, hospitals, mills, other businesses, they don't have that tool. When they are short six employees, they have six individuals who would love to come work for them at their site, but the nearest place to rent that they can afford is maybe in Tule Lake. And you're going to drive back and forth. Need an English teacher and a math teacher at Wairika High School, but the only nearest place I have available to rent is down in Mount Shasta. All of a sudden, it gets tough to find qualified, good employees nearby. And then you end up having, you know, I'm a parent, questioning school boards. Why did you hire this person instead of this person? Well, real simple. There wasn't a place for him to live. This person already lived here. Boom, we're hiring him. It's a limiting factor on quality of education, quality of hospital care, quality of law enforcement, quality of this, that, and the other.
But getting back to, you know, our comparison of affordable housing affecting, you know, short-term rentals affecting affordable housing and being responsible, is there, you know, that same comparison being drawn with long-term housing and short-term rentals? Is that what you're saying?
I think there is a connection, but I wasn't elected to this seat. I was appointed.
Yeah, me too.
I look at, is it legal? Are we being firm, fair, and consistent? And if the rest of the commissioners are okay with it, I would say the recommendation from us to the Board of Supervisors, who are elected and are paid the money to make the decision on these limits, that we say, we as a planning commission recommend the free market decides.
Yeah. Take off any.
Take off the caps.
Well, that's the thing. And this is a permitted use.
Correct.
Okay. They can withdraw their permit if they want to go month to month or an annual thing.
Well,
but going back to what was said earlier by Commissioner Fowle, you get somebody in a house on a month to month and they don't pay the rent and they have kids and they don't pay you, they cannot be evicted. Did you not have a family in the valley, sir, that
we have more than one.
Okay.
So
I've had the same experience. It's been a few years ago. And they left the house a mess, but there was no recourse.
So
with an STR, and maybe this is apples and zucchinis, but still.
They go well together in zucchini bread.
Yeah, they do. They're very good, by the way.
So
anyway, one more thing. By not putting a cap on this, does a number of things. Number one, if the traffic will, they got a new lift at the ski park. I understand the place is Visioner Long Tail Cat and a room full of rocking chairs. And that's a good thing. So let's see how this works out. If somebody thinks they can make a living or pay their house payment or whatever by having a vacation rental, let them do it. And if it proves out that it's not fault, it's not our fault.
Yep.
It's traffic will bear it.
So I'd like to bring this back and synthesize what we've just discussed. So we are going to recommend to the Board of Supervisors to get rid of the moratorium on 2.5 acres, both at the county and the sphere of influence level.
Yes.
And that's a new recommendation.
That's a new recommendation.
Yes.
We are going to not support the $20 per night fee.
Right.
We are going to recommend a 3-year inspection review interval per use permit. Mm-hmm.
And the fee
and
is
then,
what was that? How many years?
It's every three years.
And
then the fee will be established by the auditor to only cover those costs associated with that. And then we are going to withdraw any cap and let market-driven principles determine the number of vacation rentals in any given region. So basically, no caps. Did I miss one?
Nope. You hit each of them. Excuse me, each of them.
Okay, so that's our long-winded discussion on that. So,
Commissioner Veal is itching in his seat to make a motion, I think.
Okay, Commissioner Veal.
Well, in the motion that's suggested here, do we have to include this?
Yeah, we need to change the motion with the recommendation.
Why don't you make it then?
All right.
Here's the motion.
Oh, I've got it right here.
I understand. Can I just make sure, though, because I know our clerk is going to want to have the language.
I think I got it. Do you want me to read what
she's
I...
She's been on top of it up here. She's been working her tail off. I hear
well, this time I really...
Click, click, click,
can I
click.
Read what I have and then you can
sure.
tell me? Okay,
sure.
So recommend to the Board of Supervisors to get rid of the moratorium on the 2.5-acre moratorium countywide, as well as the 2.5-acre minimum Mount Shasta sphere of influence. Not support the $20 per night lodger's tax. Have the planning department conduct 3-year inspections and the fee of that will be determined by the auditor. And withdraw any cap and let the market drive principles determine the number of vacation rentals in any given region. I got it? To not exceed?
To be clear. And Council, Haley, Mr. Dean, correct me if I'm wrong. Just so those listening, those that are here, understand, when we say the auditor will determine the fee the auditor comes up with is real cost, and there is no extra associated with that fee, because the county cannot charge more than the real services provided.
Correct. No profit.
Correct.
Correct.
Not a profit.
If correct, and it'll have to be brought to the ordinance for approval.
Brought to what?
Through the county ordinance to approve it for the fee schedule. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then this doesn't take effect unless the Board of Supervisors agrees with us.
Mm-hmm. Correct. This is our recommendation to the paid people that sit here when we're not here on Tuesday.
Yeah, and that might be worth noting as far as like commissioners, because I know until I was appointed, I was very uninformed on what the commission is. And, you know, we are appointed by each respective Board of Supervisors for a given district. And we are compensated $30 a month plus mileage. And I just say that because most of us are doing this because we're long-term community members that really want to make sure that planning and land use in Siskiyou County is fair and equitable. And that is our role. We're only supposed to look at what ordinances are on the books and not impart personal opinion into our decisions on whether we approve or deny. So I just want to state that.
I have one question before I make this motion.
Okay.
For a clerk, are you comfortable that you collected the thoughts, the findings for our striking the $20 per night fee, why the findings we came up with to support that decision?
Yeah.
The findings for extending the inspection to 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and our findings for allowing the free market to decide the limit itself.
Yes. Okay. And then I also have the audio that I go back and listen to.
Perfect.
Before the minutes are finalized.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
Okay. We have the findings to support
that
decision that we may or may not make.
It'll all be in the final minutes, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I will go ahead then and move that we adopt Resolution PC2022-025 of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, as it shall reflect the recommendations as stated by the Planning Commission, and recommending that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors consider the chosen vacation rental policies and directing staff to return with revisions to Section 10.6.1502H of the Siskiyou County Municipal Code.
I'm probably going to get a no on this. You know, I would certainly open an invitation. I realize this kind of concludes things, but they're to come back next month with a completed draft and resolution for approval. So,
are you saying you want us to continue this?
I sure don't.
Okay, here, counsel, let me ask two questions of two individuals. Haley, are you clear with our position?
Yes.
Rachel, are you clear with our position?
Yes.
Motion denied. Let's roll this, baby.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, I thought we were under a time crunch,
that's
too, because this
too.
Also has
we
to
are,
go into the housing
well.
Element.
Yes.
So did you get a second?
I'm comfortable that the two key staffers are comfortable with our position, and I say we move ahead so we don't put them in hot water with
okay. So we have a motion on the table. Do we have a second?
I second.
You seconded it. So that, is it a roll call vote, or is it an all?
Roll call.
Okay.
Commissioner Mello?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowle?
Yes.
Commissioner Veal?
Yes.
Chair Lindler?
Yes. And then note Blair. Commissioner Blair is
Commissioner.
Unanimously. Make sure the board knows that. It was unanimous.
Yep. So make note of that. Okay. So.
May I make a comment, please?
You may.
Please. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for being here today.
Yeah.
And you talk to your supervisors.
Yep. And I do appreciate all your comments. It
thank you.
Greatly helps us get a feel for the community at large that we represent. Okay, so we have the vacation rental. I am going to turn over the meeting to Chairman Fowle for the Kidder Creek Orchard Camp zone change. And then I will, do not need to come back? Would you like me to come back for any of the future discussion or staff comments?
Well, before you leave, council made a comment to me as I was coming in this morning, hinted that one or more of these, there may be a desire to continue it by staff. Is this?
I'm sorry, that was misconstruing. I just was thinking about, it sounded like Planning Commission may have to be ended at 1:30 and whether we could get it all through, but it wasn't.
Gotcha, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So I would say yes, you're safe to head back to your real job.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, I will give this to you and then I will. All
right, so I need to bring.
Would you like these, Ms. Chairman? These are those.
Oh, and then let me have you sign these too before you go. Please. Oh, one more.
That's STR.